This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan, Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
I've been alright. I've just been doing the same shit I've always liked.
Smiling to the audience.
Like smoking in movies and homies who bring me wine. I've been going out too much and talking about myself too much.
Smiling.
I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like. And I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry. I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like. And I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry. To see my face.
How do they do it?
That's good love. And it ain't no big baller when it's fake friends you're calling. I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like. And I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry. I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like. And I can be bad sometimes. Getting too cocky since everyone wants me. It's harder to be myself. But I see you love me. You spend the money to know that you call me out. And when the money's out, I can make grown men cry. I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like. And I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. Sometimes I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like. And I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry.
Smiling.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by my new favourite internet rascal. It is Noah Fince. How are you doing, Noah?
I'm good, thanks.
It's great to have you here. I've become a little bit, I don't want to say obsessed because that sounds a little bit stalkery.
Sounds a bit much, yeah.
Sounds a bit stalkery. But I've been watching a lot of your YouTube videos recently and I just love everything you're putting out there into the internet. And I think you're actually quite a unique voice within the UK. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel and everything you do?
All right, I'll take that. My YouTube channel, pretty much I started off because I wanted to put out singing covers, and I started off on Instagram, and it was when there was only 15-second videos available. So I was like, okay, I'll put stuff on YouTube. And then my YouTube account was mostly just like covers, but then obviously I was like, may as well make videos about myself. So I pretty much just post whatever the fuck I want. And then also some trans stuff and also some singing stuff.
And what was the, I guess, the transition, for lack of a better word, into going from creating music content to talking about yourself and your own identity? What was the reaction like?
I'm not really sure because my internet start is kind of weird because I started on Instagram. And back when I started, this whole like spam account thing was popular. It's where people would just like spam like 10 posts a day just about their life, what they're doing. So I'd always been doing that, and I pretty much just moved that over to my YouTube channel. So my YouTube channel originated like just for music stuff, but then I brought the spam stuff over to YouTube as well.
And I feel like I don't know when you started blowing up, but I became aware of you in the past kind of 6 months. And yeah, you had already gained quite a big following. When did that kind of happen?
Well, I don't really know, to be honest. I hit 100K like 2 years ago on Instagram.
Okay.
But that was kind of like a weird audience because they weren't active followers. It was more just like they'd see me post shit and follow me and then forget about me. But I don't know, recently I've been gaining a lot more on YouTube because obviously I got top surgery and I've been like on testosterone and stuff. but so I'd say like in the last year.
Mm-hmm. And I think what I love about some of the content you create is how kind of honest you are. And I know, not that I'm saying that like all influencers and YouTubers
are
liars or anything like that, but I do think you kind of approach it from a very honest perspective. Like I'm not gonna go into this in depth because obviously I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but there was a video where you were talking about like bottom growth, for instance. And I remember you at the beginning of that video, you were like, if you're my parents or my family, like maybe turn off from this.
Yeah, my parents actually brought that up.
They brought it up.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah, I went to a barbecue at my dad's house last weekend. He's like, oh yeah, we've been watching your videos. Why are you telling us not to watch them? And I'm like, oh my
God. So they did listen when you said not to watch?
No, they watched it.
They watched it.
Which is worse.
I'm really glad that they didn't respect your wishes there.
Why? No.
my mother does the same thing. She listens to like every episode of this radio show, and I tell her not to because we talk about all kinds of different things here. But she's adamant. She's like, I want to be supportive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you not send a card? Like,
yeah.
Be supportive in any other way.
Yeah.
So your music, is that something that you're like, Do you want to kind of pursue a career in that? Is that the goal for you?
Definitely, yeah. Like, I love doing YouTube, but it's not really, like, the end goal for me. Like, the end goal is to be a musician, but also doing YouTube as well.
And do you find people have been kind of... Because I have listened to a few of your songs and things on YouTube.
Yeah.
Do you find that people are, you know, with your YouTube following and everything else, do you find that they're taking more of an interest in that?
Yeah, well, I think... Right, so there's this thing where people just, like... People who aren't trans know me as the trans guy.
Right.
But on YouTube, if you look at my most popular videos, like the top six videos are literally just covers or like songs
amazing.
I've made. Yeah, so it's mostly singing. So I feel like I think they'll be on top of the music when I release it because people have always been asking for original music. And the song that I did release called Asthma Attack, I didn't release it because I wanted to. I released it because people were just like, we want music. And I was like, okay, well,
Here you go. I recorded this.
I don't like it, but there you go. Yeah.
Do you find you're ever kind of pigeonholed into like being the trans guy? And,
oh, yeah.
You know, when you, I'm guessing you don't want to be, you just want to be a person. You just want to be Noah. You just want to make music. Do you find that happens a lot?
Yeah. Well, I guess it comes with coming out online because obviously, not to say that being trans is a new thing, but for like the general population, people are like more aware of trans people now. So if they type in trans on YouTube and I come up, they'll be like, oh, there's a trans guy. And I understand that. But yeah, I don't really want to be known just for being trans because it's not really something I've earned. So it's just kind of like, oh,
yeah,
I like
him
because
absolutely.
He's trans. I'm not a fan of that.
I do find it can be interesting sometimes when people are like, you know, I do think we should be proud when people are. But sometimes it's like celebrating your identity. It's like, it's just who I am. It's not something I've earned. It's not something I've done to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we shouldn't have pride.
Yeah, no, I was just about to say, like, I understand having pride. But, like, for me, I don't celebrate being gay and being trans. It's just, it's literally just part of who I am. I wouldn't even say it's who I am because I'm not, like, just trans. Like, I'm Noah and I just happen to be trans.
Yeah. There's an incredible author, I don't know if you know of her, called Juno Dawson. She's published like a million books. She's been on the show here and she's absolutely amazing. Mm. She's trans herself and she recently talked about, you know, her most recent book, and it's like her 14th book or something.
Oh Christ.
But she got invited onto a few different shows like the BBC and stuff.
Yeah.
And for the first time she was able to just talk about her work.
Books, yeah.
And not have people go, so what is your trans identity got to do with this? Because she's like, you know what, this book doesn't have any trans characters. It's nothing to do with being trans. I just want to be an author. And she really felt very respected for the first time to not have a single person go, tell us about the trans stuff.
Yeah.
But then I feel like I'm a hypocrite because I'm sat here doing that with you.
No, but we're talking about it. You're not just dictating saying that I'm the trans guy.
Yeah.
No, I find it interesting because I started off YouTube as like the singing person and then I came out as a trans person. And now obviously I'm going to release music at some point. Like, I don't know when it's going to be. So I have no idea when it's going to be. But I just feel like, I don't know. I don't really want to be defined just by the trans thing. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be defined by stuff I've done.
Are there any kind of I'm sure there are, but I really struggle to think of many trans male musicians. You know, we've had a few on the show who've been incredible.
Yeah.
But like I'm talking like, because obviously we have Kim Petras. She's an amazing trans woman making amazing music, but I kind of struggle to think of a male equivalent.
Yeah, there's like, well, I don't feel like there are many like trans guy like musicians that are like in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trans guy called Ryan Casata. And a lot of his music is like around being trans, and he was, oh Jesus, he went on some like talk show in 2006 or something.
Okay.
And he came out
a long time ago.
Yeah, he came out then, so his experience has been very different, and obviously they ask him very uncomfortable questions. But yeah, he makes really good music, but like in the mainstream, I'm not sure. I like it's a trans woman, but there's a band called Against Me.
Okay.
And the lead singer is a trans woman, and they're like a punk band, and they started off before she transitioned. And then she came out with this whole like album called Transgender Dysphoria Blues. And like, it's such a sick album, like so fucking good.
But, oh,
like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, so I don't really listen to trans musicians because I don't feel like there's many that are out there that are like big.
I recently tweeted again because we only play music from LGBT plus artists on this show.
Oh, fuck. And
I tweeted maybe a couple months back saying, you know, get recommendations of trans musicians, and I really thought that, you know, I'd get three or four, but like people came out in force, and I got like hundreds of replies to that tweet with all these amazing musicians that I just was completely unaware of, and I think I'd actually heard some of their music without realizing. I think again that's actually quite lovely, isn't it, when it's like, oh no, we just like their music and it's not about who they are or their identity.
It's funny because there's this whole stereotype of trans guys wearing dungarees and playing ukulele,
but, is that a thing?
I mean, you know, starter pack.
No,
you know, like starter packs, like those memes where it's just like,
oh yeah.
So like starter packs and a lot of like trans guy memes, it's like dungarees, plays the ukulele, likes 21 Pilots.
I do
like meetups in Hyde Park where people just like hang out and we can just chill, and like there's a ridiculous amount of ukuleles that come here, and like the police come through and they tell us to be quiet because we're playing too loud.
Gosh.
But yeah, I feel like a lot of like trans people are really into music because it's a coping mechanism for a lot of people. But it's just interesting that there aren't really like any big breakthrough artists.
Let's talk about your content, and actually let's talk about Instagram in particular, because I started following you there really recently, like maybe a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I love your Instagram stories because, Noah, it's the most nonsense I've ever seen.
It's wonderful.
It's beautiful. And, like, I don't know how to say this without being offensive, because this is going to sound really offensive.
No, I'm
going to say it anyway.
I
feel like there's a lot of kind of people with audiences on Instagram and things like that out there.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they try too hard. It's like, I'm going to show you now my perfect outfit, perfectly styled, photographed by this like ridiculous photographer, like standing in the street looking, and I'm like, I think there's a place for that, and every now and then, you know, I like a bit of pretty pictures, and like I do some content like that sometimes. I, you know, try and make an effort to make pretty pictures and things. But I just feel like it can lack a lot of personality sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and I do mean this as a compliment.
No,
I don't mean it as offensive.
I know what you mean. I'm not.
I think you're on the opposite spectrum of that, where you're just like, here I am living my life. I'm just going to, you know, sit here on story and say and do whatever the hell I want. And I wish more people out there were doing that, because it's normal. And I think it's breaking away from this kind of toxic kind of Instagram.
Yeah, the perfect ideal thing. That, for me, I think that originated from being like a spam account on Instagram. I'd literally just shit post things.
Yeah.
And I still kind of do that. But obviously, as I've gained followers, a lot of people that are trying to like help me like manager-wise, obviously not my manager now, because they're lovely. But like in the past, people have just been like, maybe you should like try and like make it look more professional. And I'm like, why would I do that? That's not me. I'm not
That's
like that.
That's not how you built your audience. You built your audience being yourself.
Yeah.
And but do you feel like, because you have, you know, such a large following now, do you feel like you ever might get swayed away from that slightly?
I think if I ever was swayed, it would just mean that I'd have better quality pictures.
Still the same bullshit.
Oh, still the same bullshit.
Just better quality.
Just high quality. Yeah, well, I mean, because I've got a secondhand iPhone 7 Plus, which is still like a good phone, but like the iPhone 11 is coming out. So obviously, when I see everything on a Mac, I'm like, wow, like that looks shit. But like, if anything did happen, it would just be like better quality pictures. I'm not going to, I can't pose in front of a camera and pretend like it's normal.
Yeah. And when are we, I think you said you're not able to tell us, when are we getting more music?
Fuck knows.
But, oh, Noah, come on. I would like to play your music on the show.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So I need you to hurry up and get it recorded.
I'll let you know when. I'm still just doing writing now.
I'm
just figuring out what I want to sound like. Because the song I released ages ago, that was just literally, I released that. Obviously, I didn't like it, but I wrote that just because I was in a really shit mood. And I read it like 3 years ago, and it does not represent who I am now.
Sure.
So trying to figure out who I am now while also trying to figure out what I can sing, because my voice has only dropped this year, and it's still so weird to control. Like sometimes I'll say something and it'll come out completely wrong pitch. So it's more just like trying to figure out what I want my sound to be and also what I can sing.
Yeah. What kind of genre would you say it was?
like more rocky, I guess. Rocky? I've always been, yeah, I know. Yeah, I started off as like an emo band account, so I used to post like My Chemical Romance pictures. Just, yeah, I know.
Love it.
Yeah, no, but I've always just like rock music. I've grown up on rock music, and I can't really see myself doing anything that's not even slightly geared towards that, because that's like all I listen to.
Fair. Yeah. Okay, well, we are going to be playing some fun games and things later on, but before we do that, let's have a little bit of music. Noah, I wish this was your music, but but I'm afraid it's not. This is a little bit of How Do You Sleep, Sam Smith.
I'm done hating myself for feeling. I'm done crying myself away. I gotta leave and start the healing. But when you move like that, I just wanna stay. Not this crazy. There's no way I'm sticking around to find out. I won't lose like that. I won't lose myself.
I think your first time on the radio.
Yes.
Hooray! It's a pleasure to have you here. To be doing this. We're going to play a game now. So I understand that you love ASMR. I've been fed this information. I did not know that firsthand.
I love and I hate it. It makes me uncomfortable, certain sounds, but I like making it because I can't whisper.
Wait,
at
do
all.
You make ASMR?
No, fuck no. I don't. My boyfriend came up with this idea of just making an ASMR video, like with Q&A. Obviously, it's not his idea, but he's like, okay, I want to do it with you. And we did that video, and I was like, this is so fun because literally anything like sounds good with a microphone. That didn't pick
I
it
don't
up.
Know what you just did, but no, it
I just
did pick
my
up.
Finger.
Oh, okay.
But I just feel like everything sounds good.
I don't know. It's I find it like a very weird concept, and I used to follow like this one guy who did ASMR,
yeah,
but like I really fancied him, and then I was like I felt really uncomfortable because I'm like watching him eating cereal.
Oh no, not that
and
kind. Like, no, not that
I'm
kind.
I feel very uncomfortable, and I'm going to turn this off now.
I like the ones where, have you seen videos of cars just running over bath bombs?
No.
Just like the sound. You need to watch it.
You have too much time on your hands.
Yeah, it's very specific. But I don't like all the like salivary and like whispering stuff. I just like...
There's a tremendous one. I don't know if you see. It's a dog, and he just sits, and his owner
feeds
just,
him meat.
I don't know what you just said. Yes.
Feeds him meat.
Perhaps.
Yes.
Is that where the dog just eats the...
That's my favorite one.
It is
yeah,
good. Yeah,
I literally watched it last week, and Evan came, and he's like, what are you doing? And then I sat on the sofa, and he just came and sat and watched. I was like, oh my God, this is the most perfect thing. Because I hate human noises, like human mouth noises.
Got it.
But dog mouth noises are so cute.
Because it's like chomp, chomp, chomp,
yeah.
chomp, yeah.
They're crunching, like they're chomping.
They're crunching.
Yeah.
Completely, I completely understand that. I don't really, we're going to play a game now. This is a new game. I'm trying to get my head around it. Basically, we have a few different songs that have been done in the form of ASMR.
Okay.
And we have to together figure out what those songs are.
Oh, God.
I'm going to be honest. Don't really understand this game, but I'm very excited to play it. So I think we should just dive right in.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to play our first clip. Okay, I don't understand the game.
That was not a song.
Not
excuse
understand
me.
The game. That was just someone having sex. I think I have the wrong sound clips.
Someone's been typing on the screen, and she just...
Right, got it. Okay, I've got it now. Just for a little bit of context there, Noah, sometimes we play a game called Porn or Not Porn.
All right.
Where we have to figure out if it's porn or not porn.
Yeah.
So that's what that was.
That makes more sense.
Let's try again. Hopefully this will make a lot more sense.
I'm just a poor boy.
Nobody loves
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Need
no. Oh, it is. That was really easy, yeah. But also I completely understand what you mean about human mouth sounds.
Yeah.
That was actually kind of gross. That made me very, very uncomfortable. We got it right. I feel like this is going to be really easy. Is this going to be really easy? They're shaking their heads. Okay, I assume it's going to get more difficult. Okay, let's do... Oh, I'm really confused about what all this means on my screen. Okay, let's do number 9. I'm going to press number 9.
Do a touchdown.
Oh, I get it.
Me round again. I just to find.
I'm puzzled. Was that not the same song?
No.
Was it? What song was that?
I have no fucking clue.
I'm really confused. I knew. Oh. And I think it's
gonna be okay. All right. Touchdown brings me round
again to find. I understand the game now. I don't know how you're supposed to understand, Noah, if I don't understand. Okay, I know what we're doing now.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready for the next one?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I'm at a party I don't want to be at. And I don't ever wear a suit and tie.
I have no idea. That is, I've never heard of this
but
song.
But it's not even guess the... It's guess the lyrics.
It's guess
but
the lyrics.
But they're just whispering it. Why are they doing that?
I feel like this is torture. This game is absolute torture.
It's not pleasant.
I have no clue. Do
no.
you have literally any idea? All right, let's have the answer.
I'm at a party I don't want to be at. And I don't ever wear a suit and tie yet.
I don't even know what that song is. We have the answer, and I still don't even know what that is. All right, let's try our next one.
Tell me, princess. Now, when did you last let your heart decide?
Oh, I know that. Do you know that? That's something.
No, that is something.
That is indeed something. It's Aladdin. Aladdin.
Aladdin.
A Whole New World. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen Aladdin.
You haven't seen.
I've
not
know.
Seen the original.
I saw it when I was 3, but I have such a short attention span that I just didn't watch.
Okay, that is the most upsetting thing I've ever heard.
I know, I'm missing out on so much.
That was like, Aladdin was my entire childhood, and he was like one of the first like crushes I ever had.
I'm sorry to disappoint.
Yeah, growing up, Spider-Man and Aladdin.
Oh, Spider-Man, hell yeah.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Spider-Man, Peter Pan, Simba from Lion King. I had a crush on a lion.
That's a lion. No, I kind of did as well. You know when he kind of... He's in that like middle stage when he's
the
growing up.
The puberty stage, yeah.
When he's like a puberty teenage lion.
Yeah.
He's like really hot.
Yeah.
And I know he's a cartoon lion, but like I kind of would. Like he's
yeah.
That word. So yeah, I could kind of get on board with
you know,
Simba.
The Lion King too.
Kovu.
Yeah, Kovu.
Kovu's hot. Kovu's really hot.
Hot lion. Literally, so hot.
Any other cartoon? Oh, no, no, actually, there is another cartoon animal that I really fancied. Robin Hood, the fox.
I never really watched that either.
You never? Oh, yeah, he was like one sexy fox.
I know what he looks like.
Yeah, he's cute.
I'm just not attracted to him.
No, you don't want to have sex with a fox, okay?
No.
Shall we continue with this game, Noah? I kind of hate this game, I'm going to be honest.
It's kind of making me uncomfortable.
We're going to do one more, okay? And we're going to get it right. Yes. How many have we got right? I don't know, we kind of messed this game up. One.
Just
we
a got single one. Finger from the window.
One right. Right, we're really doing badly. Okay, let's redeem ourselves with this final one. Okay, here we go.
Oh, my trouble.
I hate this so much.
Now it looks as though
it's here to stay. They're here to stay.
To stay.
But what is the song? I don't know what the song is. I don't want to listen to that again.
I actually flinched at the last bit. Like, she got a bit aggressive with that.
It just irritates me. It's not in time either.
Yeah, I think that's... So do you know what that one was? I'm not going to play it again, I promise.
I know the end of the line. I just don't know what it is.
What were the lyrics?
All my troubles had gone away and they're here to stay or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Shall I do the answer?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Fuck off. Seems so far away. I was literally listening to the Beatles on the way here. Literally on the way here.
Let yourself down.
I know.
You've let us all down, Noah.
To be fair, I was a bit distracted by the mouth noises.
Yeah. I think, you know, in life, Noah, it's fun to try new things. And sometimes when you try new things, you learn that you should never, ever do them again.
I think that's right.
And that's how I feel about this game. But we had fun and a certain level of discomfort. And we got one right and four wrong.
It's just appearing on the screen. One right, four wrong.
So, yeah, we absolutely categorically fucked that up. Should we have a little bit more music? Let's have a little bit of brand new M&EK.
Searching, looking all around for something I still haven't found. The world's so heavy, it gets me down. And though I may hurt sometimes, I know I will be alright. So I do what I got to do. Whatever will put me through, I put myself back together. I put myself back together. No, I don't wanna be sad and blue. Even if I'm black and blue, I put myself back together. Cause I am bruised but I'm not broken. Damaged but I'm coping. Holding on and hoping I'll find where I'm going. Bruised but I'm not broken. Took some time to own it. And though I may hurt sometimes, I know I will be alright. Bruised but I'm not broken. Damaged but I'm coping. Holding on and hoping I'll find where I'm going. Bruised but I'm not broken. Took some time to own it.
It took some time, but it's gonna be alright. Sticks and stones may break my bones. They show me the darkest of the unknown.
Damaged but I'm coping. Holding on and hoping I'll find where I'm going. Bruised but I'm not broken. Took some time to own it. And though I may hurt sometimes, I know it'll be alright. Bruised but I'm not broken. Damaged but I'm coping. Holding on and hoping I'll find where I'm going. Bruised but I'm not broken. Took some time to own it. And though I may hurt sometimes, I know it'll be alright. Bruised but I'm not broken.
It took some time, but it's gonna be.
Bruised but I'm not broken. Bruised but I'm not broken.
feel like I owe our listeners an apology for making them listen to that horrendous ASMR. I have heard some ASMR in my time where I've thought it sounds quite lovely, like people speaking as well. But that was next level creepy. I feel like that girl, whoever she is, she was deliberately going out of her way to upset and discomfort.
Do you think she got paid for that?
I feel like no.
Why would she voluntarily just put that out on the internet?
I do find it amazing though, like that dog we were talking about, for instance, like that gets millions and millions of views. And like, how do you explain your job to people if it's like, basically what I do is I get my dog to sit down and then I feed it various foods with a microphone and a camera in front of it, and then people watch it, and that's how I pay my rent. Like, I struggle enough to explain my job.
Yeah. Oh, fuck it. There's literally, because when I first heard about mukbangs as well, mukbangs.
I think it's mukbong, even though it's spelled mukbang.
Because that's how Americans pronounce it.
I do not understand any of these internet trends. Like, I'm always the one sat over here, like, I don't understand.
No, because when you're eating, you can't talk. But then there's also those categories of like mukbang where they just have like pretty girls just eat so much food that they get so fucking full and people enjoy watching it.
Yes.
But even when they're not talking, they're just eating food.
But is that for, I always feel like that's for like fetish reasons.
Yes, I know, but it's not, I don't like it.
I know it's not, like they put it on YouTube, but I feel like the people watching it are what, because there's like massive fetishes around food and there's like all feeders. These websites and feeders and you know, like if that's what you're into, you do you, live your best life. I just really struggle to understand. But, you know, have your cake and eat it.
I just feel very uncomfortable. How can you do anything when you're fucking full like that?
I know. And like, oh, no, I just can't. Noah, let's talk a little bit about, I understand that you're kind of, after you came out and going through your transition, etc.
Yeah.
I understand that you went through like quite a lot of difficulties that I actually don't really understand, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'd love to explore those with you. So I understand that you were trying to fund your top surgery for a while.
Yeah.
But I also don't understand, because I feel like we have the NHS here in the UK. So can you like fill in my ignorance and explain that to me?
This is a whole thing as well, and I've got some interview about this as well somewhere else. Pretty much the NHS is great, but the gender clinics are very like underfunded, and it's obviously because like I guess obviously if someone's gonna die, they're gonna have a heart attack, I'd rather someone go to them than to me who needs testosterone.
Sure.
But it's gotten to the point where waiting lists are just so long. Like there's child's gender clinics that they run up to the age of 18, and then when you're 18 you can go to a gender clinic for adults. I got referred for a child gender clinic when I was 16. But the waiting list was so long that by the time I got there...
You were too old.
I was too old. And literally, when I got referred, I was like, can you refer me to an adult one? Because by the time I've waited, I'll be 18. So I got to the child gender clinic appointment, and they're like, oh, we're so sorry. Like, we can't treat you. And I was like, okay, well, can you fast-track me to the adult services? Because I've waited 2 years.
And did they make you go back to the start?
They're like, sorry. Like, no, we can't, because we haven't assessed you. And I'm like, why didn't you just send me to the adult one? And they also lost my papers. I had CAMS, like child and adolescent mental health services. Mm-hmm. I had an assessment with them just about like general mental health stuff, and I was there for like 2 hours, talked about my entire life and like everything, like all of my issues, and they lost my papers. So the gender clinic didn't have that, and then had to wait that long. And then I got referred to an adult gender clinic, and it would have been another 2 years. So I wouldn't be on testosterone by now if I had gone publicly. And
right, okay.
Part of like my life, at least, my dysphoria was so bad that I couldn't function like a normal person or like an actual adult until I could transition, because I was so uncomfortable with
absolutely,
like anything related to that.
I think that's really important as well, because I think when, you know, we kind of like talk about like inequalities for LGBT people, like healthcare related inequalities, I think people often like myself don't understand where those inequalities lie.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can be quite dismissive. Like, oh, you get this covered on the NHS, therefore you're fine, therefore you don't need any additional support. But then when you actually look at it, like, that closely, you notice all these massive issues.
Yeah, because, like, the issue, like, in the UK is literally just waiting lists. But, like, the suicide rate with trans people is, like, ridiculous. Like, there's a ridiculous rate of suicide. Somewhere like 40% of people that are trans have, like attempted suicide.
Yeah.
And it just, for me, before I transitioned medically, it felt just like I was stagnant.
Yeah.
And all I was waiting for was testosterone or top surgery. And it wasn't just like, oh, that would be fun. It's literally so that I could live my life as like a functioning person. So I understand that obviously there are people that need medical help more than us. And obviously, I'm not mad at the NHS for the waiting list being too long because they're trying as hard as they can. But yeah, it just sucks that it's a thing and that a lot of people don't understand. Because when I started a GoFundMe for my top surgery, and people were just like, I'd get hate comments being like, you don't need this, you get it free on the NHS. I was like, yeah, I know. And they're like, but you're a YouTuber, you've got money. But
oh, I hate that.
Yeah, but the thing is...
Show me the money.
I had spent, the year before I did that, I had spent $5,000 on getting my eggs frozen so that I could have biological kids in the future.
Yeah.
So I'd already spent that money, which was all my money but when I was like 18, on like freezing my eggs. And that's another part of like transition for me. That was the first step in my medical transition. And I had to do that in order to go on testosterone without worrying about fertility. So it's all just like... So that wasn't funded by the NHS. So I couldn't have done anything about that. But it's literally just like, I feel like you shouldn't have to wait that long in order to be comfortable with yourself. Because it's mental health treatment, realistically.
It is, yeah.
Surely it's like you take testosterone and you get surgery, but it's because of your mental health.
It's so much money as well. You know, like the egg freezing and things to do at such a like young age.
Yeah,
like, people don't have that kind of money.
No, and I'm lucky I had YouTube because of that.
Yeah, yeah,
so obviously
absolutely.
You're a YouTuber, you have money.
So there's no, it's not covered by the NHS, like getting your eggs frozen isn't something that...
It depends where you live. Literally a postcode lottery.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible because the area I lived in, they didn't fund it. So I went to my GP and I was like, hey, like, want to get my eggs frozen so I can have like kids in the future. And they're like, okay, we'll check if it's like, if they like cover it in your area. And then they came back and they're like, don't. And I was like, okay. And then they said, okay, well, we'll appeal it.
Could you have not just like moved house for a bit?
Yeah, I feel like that would probably cost more than like getting my eggs frozen privately.
Like, just get a like cheap little place somewhere in a postcode.
I guess. Yeah, technically I could have, but it's literally just a postcode lottery. And I know that after I got my eggs frozen, there are a few like articles going around trying to get trans people covered on the NHS for like egg freezing. But like at the point I had it wasn't covered, and I needed to get it done before I started testosterone.
I know it's enormous issue with other things as well. Like I know with like HIV tests, they're free for most people in most postcodes, but for some postcodes, for whatever reason, the local borough or something doesn't cover it.
That's ridiculous.
So it's like,
no, that is ridiculous.
So it's like, oh, 99% of people can get these free HIV tests, but if you live in like these particular postcodes, then you can't. And I find it bizarre. Like I don't understand how these things work, if I'm honest, but like I don't understand why it's broken up that way. Why can't it just be like a blanket of this is available for everyone?
I mean, I feel like it will be at some point, but it's just ridiculous that right now it's not. I can't imagine it being cheap either if you have to buy it.
They're like, if you do buy like a private HIV test, they're not very expensive. Okay. But even still, it's like,
but I mean,
whether it's £20 or £30, that's still money that, you know, some people don't have. You know, if you're like a single mother and you're like raising a family and you don't have very much income, then you can't afford £30 for an HIV test, etc.
But that's something that's so important as well. It'll be like you may have cancer, but like if you want to know, then £30. £30. Like, thanks. Like,
I think it was interesting what you were saying about like, oh, you know, there are people with like heart conditions or cancer or these other issues out there, and they should take priority.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I agree with that. You know, I don't think the way that our healthcare system is built, I don't think we should have to like compare things.
Yeah.
And again, like talking about HIV again, for instance, there's when people were talking about PrEP, which is medication, for anyone who doesn't know, it's medication you take to prevent yourself from contracting HIV if you are at high risk. When, you know, we were talking about getting this available on the NHS, it was the same argument again. Oh, that money will be taking directly away from these dying babies who need this specific medication. It's like, it's not that way. We should be looking at everything individually and not being like, okay, if we give money to support trans people in getting testosterone or top surgery, that money isn't coming out of a, you know, it's not like we're going into a hospital and, you know, taking somebody's life support away or something.
I think it's also, with the gender clinics, it's underfunded, but it's also, there's not a lot of people that are specialized in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also an issue because, oh, Jesus Christ, pretty much, I'm on a lot of trans support groups.
Yeah.
And I see posts from people that are going in the public sector for transitioning, and they get like email updates from the clinics, and they're like, okay, so they're taking referrals from December 2016. I got that post last week. They were taking referrals from December 2016. That was 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's too slow. And like what happened to you as well with you, the kids and then the adults.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. And I want to say it's getting better, but is it?
It's hard to know because, right, so people think there's like, there's some like trans contagion where like now everybody is transgender. Obviously, there's been a massive increase in referrals to gender clinics. So it's kind of understandable that like the waiting list is so long. I don't know. There's been a massive increase, but it's just...
But surely that's just visibility and more people understanding that they're trans and reaching out for the help. It's not that there suddenly are more trans people or more people are deciding, in inverted commas, that they're trans. It's that these trans people already existed and they're finally seeking the treatment that they need.
I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
But obviously it slows it down for everybody else.
Yeah.
Which is a bad thing, but like, if it's going to help other people and it takes longer, then that's just how it is.
So we just need there to be more funding, I guess.
Yeah.
Are there charities or anything like that that support these things?
I mean, I don't know
why I'm asking you, you know, the answers to all of these
questions. Gender clinics, no, because they're on the NHS.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I mean, maybe, but I know there's a new gender clinic opening in Wales, but I feel like Wales is not as populated as like where we are, but I don't know. I feel like they're trying harder, but obviously because the public sector's so overcrowded, now the private sector, their waiting lists are getting longer. So when I went private, it took me 3 months to get an appointment. Which is ridiculous because it takes like 2.5 years to get one in the public sector. But like now it's getting a lot longer. So the public sector's too populated, so is the private sector. So it's literally, it's a big issue, but I know they're trying.
But things are good now. You have transitioned. You're happy.
Yeah.
You are living your best life.
Yes.
And not only that, you're also talking about your experiences and whether you intend to or not. I think you're spreading a lot of kind of awareness, education.
Yeah.
I imagine you have a lot of young trans people who look up to you. I'm imagining your comment section is full of those kind of...
Because I do meetups again, like I said, and there's a lot of...
How are you not getting overrun at these meetups? You mentioned one earlier, but you have such a massive audience now. Surely if you say, I'm going to be at this place, you just get, like, overrun with people.
Yeah, that's what it's... I don't know how much longer I'll be able to do them without, like, a venue, because I started them in 2016 in August when I had, like 20,000 followers on Instagram, and... Yeah, it's just gotten bigger, and the last one was in April, and it was ridiculous. Like, I didn't sit down for 6 hours. Because they were just like people like trying to meet me, and I'm like, that's chill. Like, I'm happy to talk to them, but like, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Does that make you like? Obviously, you're happy that with your growth and everything, but does that make you sad in some ways that you wouldn't be able to kind of have such a close and intimate connection with your audience?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's pros
or your community.
And cons. Yeah, there's pros and cons for anything, I guess. But it's nicer that I can reach more people. But then obviously, like with meetups, I can't have like as like long conversations because at meetups it's not a meet and greet, and a lot of people think it's a meet and greet. They're like, oh, let's go meet, no offense, but it's literally just
so
like
just chill and hang out.
Yeah, it's literally just chill because like we advertise it as like just come and hang out because the first one I did it, that was literally what it was, and I met so many of my best friends there, and I know that people come to us, they come to the meetup, and then afterwards I get DMs being like, hi, I just met my best friend and now we're best friends.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's not like a meet and greet, it's more just like a chill bit. But now I guess as I've gained followers, obviously some people will come there with the mindset they're like, oh, I'm gonna meet Noah, and that's chill too, but you know,
I actually don't like meet and greet situations, and I get this, maybe this is a controversial thing to say, but a couple of years back I actually said I'm not doing meet and greet, kind of, you know, where it's like a line and people queue up to meet you. I said I'm not doing that anymore, just because I feel like, and power to all the people who are still doing those, maybe you're even doing them, but I just, for me, I hate it when like people stand there and they queue and then they finally get to talk to you and you're only able to talk to them for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, when it's like an arranged event and things, sometimes there's like security and things which will literally like tear them away from you and be like, you've got to move on. 10 seconds per person. And I'm just like, if people really want to meet you, I get that, but I don't like it. I would rather do, like you say, if you've got 100 people, can we not all just like form a big circle and we'll all just chat?
Yeah.
And like, surely that's a nicer way of doing things. Like, I'm not criticizing any events out there because I understand it's a really difficult thing to match, to, you know, control that kind of thing. But I find it frustrating.
No, I agree with you on that because, again, with like anything related to social media, because we're called like influencers or creators. And
I hate influencers.
Yeah,
I hate that.
And
term.
Anybody that follows us is then officially a fan.
Yes.
And I hate that. I hate that it's become this thing where it's just like, oh, they're a fan, when really they just follow you because they might see a bit of themselves in you.
They
and
might
like,
follow you because they hate you.
Yeah, literally. Like, it's,
it doesn't
just
mean
really
they
irritates
like you.
Me because meet and greets as well. I'm doing a meet and greet at Sitsi, and I've never done like an official meet and greet.
Yeah.
And I obviously get like,
I hope it goes really well after what I just said.
Oh, no,
I hope
like,
it's lovely.
Yeah, but it's just, I agree with what you say. But I just feel like, I guess if they're really excited about meeting you, then whatever. But I do feel bad that it's only for like a few seconds. it makes me feel like a dick. It's like, oh, come and meet me. Come and have the privilege of meeting me in a hall.
And I'm just like, it's, sometimes I see, like, I have a lot of friends who are like YouTubers, influencers, etc. Yeah. And like some of them have like over like millions of followers.
Yeah.
And when I see like them like having like meet and greets and things promoted, I'm like, why do you want to meet them? It's only like this person or that person. I'm like, they just sit in my living room sometimes and they're not that interesting.
That's how I feel about myself. Like for like meet and greets, like for Sitsi as well, people are just like, oh, I can't wait to meet Noah. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll just chill a bit, won't we? We'll
and you're like, I don't know what to say. Hi.
Yeah,
do you want me to dance?
Yeah, no, that's the awkward thing. There was someone at a meetup that came up to me and she was like, can we sing together? I'm like, okay. Yeah,
okay, sure.
And her friend got the camera out and she just started singing and I'm like, you're really good. She was like, yeah, sing along. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
I think sometimes it's, especially with like the world of YouTube, is, you know, we go, well, I say me, I've not made a YouTube video in as long as I can remember, but like, go on the internet and you film these videos, but then like, you know, I have friends who like sometimes film for like over an hour and then they edit that down to like 8 minutes or something. Yeah. And you get these kind of like polished, perfect versions. I know you say that you like to give them the unedited and all the mistakes.
Yeah.
But I think they see that online and they think that that's what they're going to get when they meet you in person.
Yeah.
And they're going to assume that you're this switched on, really articulate, really fun, funny, bouncy person.
Yeah.
And when in reality, we're all just people.
Yeah.
And I think you're great, Noah.
Thanks.
You're all right. You're fine.
You're all right, too.
But yeah, we're just people. Yeah. So yeah. But I look forward to hearing about your meet and greet. I hope it goes well.
I'll let you know.
Let's do a little bit more music. This is a little bit of The Stage, Shura.
Are we gonna kiss? And
Oh, that was an interesting outro there. Are you ready to feel very uncomfortable, Noah?
Hell yeah.
I'm very excited for this. We are going to be reacting to your sex-related questions now and your sex confessions as well. If you want to send in any future confessions, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. It is completely anonymous as well, so we won't read out your name on the radio. I'm going to dive right in and read the first one, which is actually quite tame. I like this question. Is it a bad thing to still be a virgin at the age of 20?
No.
Don't know why I'm looking to you.
I'm not sure why.
I don't know why I'm looking to you.
I don't understand that question.
I hate the concept. I've said this so many times on this show, but I hate the concept of virginity.
Okay.
Like, I just think it's like we don't have names for, like, when you try a steak for the first time or the first time you
steak
go swimming.
Virginity.
Yeah, but, like, why do we put all this emphasis on the first time that we have sex? It's like, you lose your virginity. You're not losing anything. You're just trying something new.
It was some... I feel like it's some patriarchal thing because women were valued less if they weren't virgins.
Which is such bullshit.
Yes, it's such bullshit. And, like, it should
such
be a
bullshit.
Thing nowadays, but I literally think that's what it's from.
I hate that. And, like, obviously, I get the ideas around, like, you need to wait till people are of a certain age. And, like,
yeah.
We have those things in place, but I don't really think that's tied to virginity. It's just
no.
Like just have sex when you're ready. I want to say old enough, but, like, that's such a, like, when you're ready.
Yeah.
When you're ready,
yes.
I think is a good answer.
Yeah.
When you're ready to have sex is when you should do it. So is it a bad thing to still be a virgin at the age of 20? Absolutely not.
Mm.
I had somebody ask me, I did like a Q&A on Instagram recently, and somebody asked a very similar question. And I replied and said, no, of course not. And then I had like loads of people then message, be like, oh, I'm 29 and I'm still a virgin, or I didn't lose my virginity until I was 32, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like...
It's such a weird thing that it's such a big... like. Well, to be fair, it was a big deal for me. But now that I don't worry about that, I don't see why it's such a big thing.
Yeah, and like I think it's fine if you personally are like, okay, like having sex for the first time is a big deal. I it can be a big deal.
Yeah,
of course I understand that.
I mean, it's a new experience.
It's a new experience.
Not like anything else, but it's still like it's just something that happens, I guess.
I used to get like really nervous about like trying other things for the first time. So both my parents were hairdressers.
Okay.
So growing up, I had like two parents who always cut my hair.
Yeah.
And then like. When, like, my parents moved to Spain when I was, like, 16 years old.
Yeah.
And I had to get, like, my hair cut by somebody who wasn't my mum and dad for the first time. I was more scared about that than losing my virginity, honestly.
Oh, Jesus.
I was, like, going in. I was like, I don't know what to ask for. Like, and I'm going to get let this stranger touch my hair and cut my hair. What if they do a bad job of it?
Yeah, my mum used to cut my hair because she used to be a hairdresser, but she literally cut my fringe off, like, the whole thing. Because I wanted to look like the boy off the Leapfrog box, like the Leapfrog console for kids.
The boy off the Leapfrog box.
There's a Leapfrog console. And he just had a really cool haircut, and I was like, I want that, mum. And she cut it too short, and she kept cutting it, and I just didn't have a fringe.
That is the best thing I've ever heard. Like, usually people are like, yeah, I want my hair to look like this. Like, I want to look like Shawn Mendes. You're like, boy off the Leapfrog box.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
I was like six. I had a crush on the boy from the Leapfrog box, and I wanted his hair.
My mum did say that one time she had, this was like 15 years ago or something, she had like a little boy come in and say that he wanted his hair cut like Pikachu.
Oh, no, he didn't.
And she was just like, it doesn't even have hair. Like, it's like a weird rat thing. I don't understand what you want me to do.
That's so odd.
And so she just like gave him like a standard haircut and then was like, there you go. There's your Pikachu haircut. And he was thrilled. So
there
we go. Let's do the next one. I want to buy some cheeky sex toys for the first time, but don't know where to start looking and what I should buy. I'm a gay guy and it's just to use on myself. Help.
There are so many websites.
I'm gonna promo myself, Noah.
Okay.
I am. I made a video. I think it's called Best Sex Toys for Men. It has like 500,000 views or something. It did really well.
Yeah.
Best Sex Toys for Men or something. And I got sent this massive crate of sex toys.
I did a video
there was
like that as well.
Literally, Love Honey sent me like 40 sex toys or something.
40?
And they said, try all of them and then make a video about your favorites. And I was like, this is the best. Like so I had to for work. I had to use a load of sex toys. It was really hard. It was
really hard day at work.
Really hard day at work.
Oh, no,
day at work. A day to use
hard
40.
Day,
it was like a hard month of work.
So fucking gross.
So yeah, like that's my answer. Go and watch that video because but a wand. There's these
ones that look like back massagers.
Yes, they look like back massagers. They vibrate. They're amazing. That's my favorite. So I would say get that. That's my answer.
Hell yeah.
Anything to add, Noah? Are you good?
Well, I mean, I don't have a dick, but if I did,
I'd
want a
fleshlight. Yeah, but the question was, it's as a gay guy. You're a gay guy.
Fleshlight. I want one of them.
There you go. Okay.
I can't use it.
You can't use it. But I think we have time for one more really quick. The first time I gave a blowjob was in / behind my church. Which was it? In or behind? It can't be both.
What unless is you the were question?
Like, unless you were like out, like half hanging out of a window or something.
Oh Jesus! That's dreadful. But at my school, the
it's not dreadful. I think it's amazing.
No, but no, this was dreadful because at my school, the meet-up place for kids to have sex was literally behind the chapel.
That's amazing.
And it was by my boarding house, and we'd just see people go past there, and my house mistress would come out and be like, "What are you doing?" And it was so dreadful.
That's
there's
the best
so
thing
many
I've
stories.
Ever heard. Yeah. I want to have sex behind a chapel.
No, you don't.
I do.
Why a chapel?
I don't know, because it's like naughty, because it's like you're not allowed.
I mean,
it's like
yeah, I guess.
Breaking the rules.
But then what about the poor church man?
But I'm clean. I'm not gonna make a mess, promise.
Okay,
and I'll make sure that the vicar man doesn't see or anything. I'll be respectful. I will.
Good
I will.
Luck with that.
So I'm gonna say well done to you for having your blowjob behind the church. Good for you. no, but that actually brings us to the end of the show, and what a lovely, lovely way to end.
Hell yeah.
You've been an amazing guest.
Thanks.
If people wanna follow you, which they absolutely should, where can they do that?
Noah Fince, NOAHFINNCE. It sounds like no offense, and that is the point. So don't tell me it sounds like no offense.
Do people do that?
Yeah, they're
do
like,
people
hey,
not get the joke?
Hey, you know, I just realized your name sounds like no offense, and I'm like, wow. Good on you.
Shocker.
Yeah,
thank
literally.
You so much for bringing that to my attention. Wow, people are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Noah, you've been an amazing guest, and I am going to play you out with a little bit of Boy With Love.
Hell yeah.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.